the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard as we are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Awesome three-hour program lined up today. Legendary sports writer from the Boston Globe, Bob Ryan, in 30 minutes. Professional sports bettor Frank B. in studio for a full hour. Common mistakes made when betting the Super Bowl. He has a lot of storytelling to do, how he's approaching the big game, and Matt Moore on the NBA trade deadline from Action Network coming up in the final hour of the program. And, Pauly, little did we know last night when that news broke that the Clippers and Cavaliers were discussing a James Harden deal for Darius Garland, that story would be buried a little bit more than 12 hours later, because the action has been fast and furious. The breaking news was coming in one right after another in the last half an hour or so leading up to the show, and the latest of which is a really nice move by Boston as they traded Anfernee Simons over to the Chicago Bulls for Vucevic, and that's going to help them shore up some of their big guy problems. They already have enough guards on the team, obviously, but then what could that mean potentially for Chicago? Their odds keep dropping, by the way, going the other way to land Giannis. But as our guest Matt Moore later on tweeted out, I think it was Matt actually, he said, if Oklahoma City lands Kobe White now, ... Like, that's the kind of guy that Oklahoma City absolutely has to bring in for the three-point shooting. Cason Wallace is not going to hit seven every game like he did Sunday night against Denver. But this is the deal that happened between Memphis and Utah feels like 3 hours ago now.
Yeah.
And that was major.
Yep. So since Ja made his comments, I'm good in the West, they won one playoff series. And then his outlandish comments last year that I was figuring out OKC before I got hurt. They got swept in the first round and he thought they were close. The GM disagreed and now they are totally rebuilding. They're gonna move Ja. They traded Bane and now they trade Jackson. What a job by Utah. Now Memphis has 12 first round picks in the next seven drafts. So a total rebuild. They are now 20-1 to make the playoffs. They were only three games behind Portland when the day started, and they had a nice win last night, and your guy Jerome was good. But now trading a defensive player of the year and a guy that can score, big move for Utah, and total rebuild for Memphis. They're obviously going to miss the playoffs. Great move for the Celtics. You get a guy who's 17-10 in his career, a double-double machine in Vucevic. And I kept refreshing the other deal about what did the Timberwolves get here? They just moved off Conley's contract is what they did to try to land Giannis and free up some money. They are now under the first apron, and they dropped their luxury tax bill from $24 million to $3.8 million as they continue their pursuit of Giannis as we get 2 days away from the deadline.
Yeah.
Keep it coming.
And by the way, their odds continue to go up to land Giannis, meaning that they're increasingly moving in their direction to get the guy as the minutes progress here, and the deadline is still 2 days away. They're almost at 30% now to get him. Now, this thing's been back and forth the last couple of days. The Bulls plummeted the other day. The Heat plummeted again today to turn into the favorite. I think it was at Kelce. And now it's Minnesota, who they're almost, who knows, by the end of this show, they might be 50-50 to bring him in after that move. The Jazz deal now on paper, like, you really have to like the Jazz and their roster moving forward, right? Because you're talking about George in the backcourt, along with Bailey, Markkanen, who, according to reports, is super happy. Why would he not be? Now Jaren Jackson and then Kessler. But Kessler's out for the year, and the reports are coming out like, will the Jazz actually trade Kessler to a team that would want him this year because they don't need – I actually think I would keep him. But here's the deal. Like, they have 15 wins on the year. Their updated win total is 24.5. Their first round pick goes to Oklahoma City if it's not top eight protected. So they cannot, great job here by Danny Ainge and Hardy putting this together moving forward. But down the stretch, they still have to tank. They can't win too many games. They got to keep their first round pick in 2026 because the draft is so loaded. So I looked at their win total to see what it was going to be like. And I thought, they can win 10 more games. But they don't have the incentive to win 10 more games this year. It's kind of like the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers' win total is 49.5. If they go out and get James Harden, what do they have, 30 right now? They can't win 20 more games the rest of the year? but also would that be how long would it take the Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell to get used to playing with James Harden if they bring him in? Like, could they go into the funk for a couple of days or a couple of weeks before they're, like, used to playing with each other?
Well, at least you have someone who can help you out. Garland can't even play.
Right.
He's got the bad toes, and he's been out since January 14th. So that's a bizarre trade. That's a trade, I think. And Dustin Sweetelson had a good point that he's nervous about Cavs' futures now because of Harden's track record in the playoffs. But they're in desperate mode because they want to keep Mitchell and have him extend after this year. So they're doing everything they can to compete. They don't want to go out in the first or second round. But the Clippers are playing great ball, and now they might move off Harden. And Garland's not even going to play. He's been banged up, and I don't even want to expect from him. So that really hurts the Clippers if they make that trade. But that's wild if that deal would go through. And it sounded like, he not only does he have a no-trade clause, he's got a 15% trade kicker on top of that. Mm-hmm. Oh, incredible job by his agent. And the other thing is, what exactly are the Bucks going to do here? Because the Heat, Wolves, and Knicks all can have better offers and will have better offers in the summer. The only team that can improve their offer is Golden State.
Right.
And now they're saying no Butler, and maybe they throw Draymond Green into the mix, and he's at peace with that decision as he can move on from the team and what they could do. But this is going to be a fantastic 48 hours here of what's going to happen, and maybe Minnesota can pull this off. Maybe they could do this and land Freak.
What would they have to give up in return? What's the haul that we're talking about here?
Young talent with a lot of picks.
Do the Bucks get McDaniels in return?
I would think he'd have to be in that too.
I would think he has to be part of the package.
Yeah.
And we're talking, so think about this for a second. With this deal taking place today by Memphis and Utah, and Memphis got 3 first-round picks back for Jaren Jackson, the Memphis Grizzlies acquired 7 first-round picks for Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson. 7 for those two players. They're fine basketball players. They are not even on the same planet as Giannis Antetokounmpo. So if that team got 7 and players back for those two guys, the Bucks absolutely have to crush this thing. They can't settle.
Well, I know, but he's 31 and he gets hurt a lot.
Paul, there is no...
That's also a difference.
Come on.
You can't do that. The guy's injury prone. The other thing, too, is you're poo-pooing this Golden State deal. Those picks are in like 2030 and 2032. So there's no more Curry at that point. We are way down the road at that, but who knows what Golden State's organization even looks like at that point. So maybe you kind of walk into something there, and like it's a Brooklyn part two when with the Celtics-Boston trade, or it's like the Clippers and OKC, where the Clippers think they're getting the best of it. Not only do you get SGA, get all those picks, and then what's going to happen with the Clippers organization? But if you kick the can down the road and you're looking at first-round picks in 2020, 2030, 2031, 2032, there's no Curry. Who knows who's on the team at that point?
So that move would obviously be completely for the future then. Because Draymond Green does nothing for your organization at all. He's done. He's pretty much finished.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like going, like could he be a nice part like on a championship team? Sure. What does he offer the Milwaukee Bucks with no other talent around him basically? Not much. So Giannis has never played fewer than 61 games in his career. He has been banged up. He misses games. There's also load management, but he's also, a 30-point per game scorer, 12 rebounds a game, 6 assists. And he is quite simply put one of the best 5 players in the entire league. Now I get it. I get it with the age, and you're going to have to give this guy a $275 million contract, but these teams, it's funny money in the NBA, and they give Ben Simmons got what? $180 million.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Harden's going to want an extension, too.
That's going to be part of the gig.
I can't imagine the Cavs. I don't know if the Cavs want to do that. Here's another guy making, $40 million a year, and it was a discount, what he's looking at, and cost himself some money. But he wants an extension. He probably wants his trade kicker, and then he has to sign off on where he's going to go. So that's convoluted.
According to Ramona Shelburne, Charlotte is now in the mix for Milwaukee. This is Brian Windhorst.
Yeah.
On our buddy show, Tony Rizzo, ESPN Cleveland, saying the Cavs are taking some huge swings.
The Cavs have talked to the Bucks about Giannis, and the Cavs have talked to the Mavericks about Anthony Davis. And the Cavs had talked, are obviously talking about James Harden, okay? And so this is why I started telling you a week ago that they're, like, trying for this big swing. There are trades that make these work. I do not think that it's likely that they're going to be able to execute those other deals, but they clearly do not believe that this team is good enough or suspect that this team is not good enough. And they clearly have decided that they're willing to seriously consider breaking up their core. And when they came to those decisions, they went gigantic big game hunting.
How about that?
Yeah, look at Rizzo, like a kid in the candy store.
Oh, they're both stunned.
I'd love the Anthony Davis trade possibly as well. But they've won 8 of 10, but still the 5 seed. And I will agree with them that they don't have enough right now to get over the hump and even make the conference finals, that they have to make a big trade. And certainly, what good does Garland give you when he's always hurt? Not that Harden's got the great track record, but could he be a number two and a Robin to Mitchell? I mean, he can be Batman.
Explain to me why you would love the Anthony Davis possibility.
Well, another guy was injury prone, but I think that's a great fit as well. I mean, when he's in there, he puts up big numbers. And he could help him out, because I certainly can't get there with this Allen Mobley combination either. But I think that'd be a good fit if they can get him on the cheap. And who knows what Dallas will want in return.
Tom Haberstroh earlier today tweeted out that there is a world that going into next offseason, the Cavaliers could get Giannis, LeBron James, and James Harden. He said they could have all three at the same time. Let's follow the money here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Will keep you obviously up to date with what's going to happen in the NBA today, 2 days before the deadline. More NFL props hitting the betting boards as well. Paulie, MVP bet 30-1. He'll expand on that coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Paulie, it's always a pleasure to talk to our first guest today, legendary sports writer from the Boston Globe, Bob Ryan, kind enough to join us for a couple of minutes here on a Tuesday, and he is on the Progressive guest line. Good afternoon, Bob. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just reeling from our local news here. That's all.
Okay, so yeah, what is your gut reaction as the Celtics traded away Anthony Simons for Vucevic from the Chicago Bulls? Your thoughts on that deal? And does that mean that Tatum is probably going to come back and play this year then?
The big narrative had been Tatum, tracking Tatum, watching Tatum, listening to Tatum. It'd be quite clear that he wants to come back. He's had public workouts. He's not hiding anything. He certainly is making progress. He wants to come back. Okay, that was the big... So we were debating, is it worth it? All right, if he's going to come back with enough games left to A, check off the rust, B, reintegrate yourself into these guys with this group, and also we renew your partnership with Brown, blah, 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 blah. Okay, what they did by trading for 35-year-old Nikola Vucevic was saying, hey, the East is available. We're in it. Look out. We're coming. We want to get involved in this. We think we got so we can really do something. And that would include, of course, Tatum coming back.
What did you expect going into this year? I mean, this is like found money, right? I think Missoula's done a great job, and Jaylen Brown's been awesome.
I can tell you what I said, and I said it publicly, and it's easy to traceable. I said, here's the deal. The span is 35 wins to 37 to 45 with the group they got. If they play, they'll win 37. If they play pretty damn well, they'll win 45. They're on their way to 50 and ish. And it's turned out to be significantly better than we ever dreamed. It's been a fun year. They're likable. Some nights, we all have this problem that they're so three reliant, and some nights they don't fall and they look terrible. And then other nights they're devastating and they're fun. And they've got some exciting young players. Jordan Walsh. He's a demon. And Hugo Gonzalez, I'm telling you, is special. He's 19 years old. He can make a three. I've done something that I've never done in 50 years of covering him and over 50. And that is, I'm mentioning someone in the same breath as Dave Cowens with regard to how hard he plays. I have not seen a Celtic at that size play as relentlessly hard as Hugo Gonzalez. Oh, anyway, they've been fun, and we've enjoyed them. But this is shaking things up, believe me. This is really a significant move.
Who would worry you in the East? I mean, I'm with you. You have to go for this, that you're tied for first place, and the issues with the Knicks. Certainly Detroit's a good team, but other than Detroit, I think you have to love the position that the Celtics are in and how well they're playing.
Correct. And obviously, they've answered that for us with this move. I mean, even if Tatum doesn't come back, there was special, but apparently he's going to. But even if he weren't, the thing is that Vucevic, there was talk about improving at the center spot. They've been getting surprisingly good production from Nemus Kreda and also Luka Garza. And they've been getting by, you know, but clearly Vucevic has a couple bullets left in the chamber. He's been around. It's 16 years, you know. But he's a scorer. He can make threes and he can play. He knows how to play the game. He is an upgrade. There's no doubt he's a quality upgrade at that position. He's experienced and been around. And I think he's going to probably be very excited once he finds out who he's playing with. And these young guys are fun. And Brown is a great player. I think he's going to love the atmosphere in Boston, et cetera. I'm not saying he needs a pickup, but I think he's going to get a pleasant surprise here.
What are you hearing, or how are you reading the tea leaves about a possible Giannis trade to any of these teams that are in the mix before the deadline on Thursday?
You know, what are you going to give up? That's it. I mean, robbing Peter to pay Paul is always the issue with trading a superstar. I'm predicting that when we wake up Friday morning, he's still in Milwaukee. I don't know who's going to get it done. Now, the team that intrigues me at the moment, you know, the Knicks, of course. But what are the Knicks going to do? They're going to give away a new Ananobi or Bridges, and they don't have draft picks. They gave them all up to get Bridges. So, and they're certainly not. We know that Brunson's untradeable, I guess Cat. Yeah, all right. And they'll always have Robinson, and there's every other day basis. Maybe that's. But I think that. That would be. I think they'd be wrong to do it. I do. The team that intrigues me, though, is Minnesota. Now, I'm not sure exactly what they have to give, but he and Anthony Edwards together, that would be interesting. Anthony Edwards is I'm a member of that fan club. I'll tell you right now.
Yep. Well said. So everything you said about the Celtics, I think you would say the same thing about the Patriots, right? How this was unexpected, and you come off a four-win season, and how likable they are, and how the fans bought in, and the place was rocking during the playoff games. It felt like the glory days.
It is. You can't believe that we're going through this a second time in this 21st century, because we went through all this 2001, and then into the 2002 Super Bowl, and it came from nowhere. We saw. Everybody knew about the schedule. It's all you heard all year. The schedule. It's statistically, it's one of the easiest schedules in over 30 or 40 years. That's a fact. That's documented. If you go about who they're playing and wins and losses, blah blah blah, they've taken full advantage of it. And the thing is, they've gotten better and better as time's going on defensively. Look at the numbers that they're putting up defensively in these playoffs now. And May turns out to be a dream of draft pick. Help you both throwing and running. He's having not a great postseason throwing the ball, but he's strategically making huge runs that they need at the time. And, you know, maybe he's got one big passing game left in him. But he's a keeper and a coach, of course. You know, Gerard Mayo, a wonderfully nice guy who was miscast. And they had the good sense to cut the loss and get Vrabel and Vrabel has been ideal. Everything, he checks all those base boxes that you want. People are very, very excited. I think probably too excited, because I don't think enough people around here realize there's a damn good reason why they're not favored in this game. That's all. Mm-hmm. I mean, their winning would be, I think, a mild, not big, but a mild upset. Seattle deserves to be favored, but they deserve to be. They deserve to be here. No one else. They got here very fair and square, and so we got people. Yeah, we're very excited about it.
Who do you like?
I like the Patriots, but I'm my thing says it. You know, Cinderella thing is not going to happen. But I'm have to understand who you're talking with. I'm a negative thinker. I think it's much safer in life. I'm a pessimist is an optimist with experience, and I think it's much safer to set the bar low and be pleasantly surprised than to set the bar high and be woefully discouraged or disappointed. I can see Seattle. I can see that defense clamping down. I can see Darnold ending up his storybook season with one more big game. But I think it's going to be a really good game, and it's almost a toss up. But I can understand why you would favor Seattle.
Are you disgusted with what happened with the Hall of Fame, with Kraft and Belichick?
Not disgusted. I'm amused.
Okay.
Very much so. Okay. We know what it's all about, for the most part. And now, in the case of Belichick, there is a possible other explanation that I have now come to accept, which is people, knowing that if they don't vote for Cartwright, actually for Craig and Greenwood, they're off the ballot, and they think they should be in, and that Belichick will always have more time. I'm not going to take up that valuable spot and vote for him as opposed to voting for them. Okay. I can see that makes some rational sense if you feel that way. Okay. The problem with this whole thing is that the system is awful. Mm-hmm. It's a stupid system. It's a ridiculously awful, stupid system. I don't know how they could – the way they do it is dumb. And so there should be room for everybody. Now, as we know that no one of those 50 voters could look you or me or anyone else in the eye and say that Belichick's credentials don't merit him being in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So it's punishment for the most part. It's punishment for Spygate and Deflategate. Now, I don't know, we'll never know the ultimate effect of Spygate. We won't know. Okay. It happened to a degree. It wasn't good. Okay. But Deflategate, I'm telling you, is nonsense. BS crap.
Oh, yes.
It first of all, it was documented. It's easily documented that he threw the football better than he did the impaired one.
Yes.
Much better.
Yes.
Okay. So end of story with that. So punishing them the way they did with the draft picks and the money, that was making Belichick and company, that's giving them 20 years to life for jaywalking, if they even jaywalked. And so that is exactly what it is. And so Deflategate is nonsense. Okay, Belichick. Okay, you understand the enmity, but Kraft. Oh boy, no owner in this league deserves to be in the Hall of Fame right now more than Bob Kraft. Bob Kraft has made money for the other 31, This is punishing the Patriots for all their transgressions, real or imagined, over the last 25 years.
Well said, sir.
You're the best. We love talking to you. Thank you. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Appreciate you.
Win, lose, next. The runs are really taking off in hockey. 16-2, 17-2, and now make it 10 in a row. Paulie, details next.
You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Really looking forward to this full hour as professional better Frank B. kind enough to join us in studio here during Super Bowl week. Good to see you again, my man. How are you?
Hi, good to see you guys. Yeah. Super Bowl, it seems like it comes around faster every year. You know?
I know.
It seems like we just did this.
We have a lot to get into this hour. I want to ask you if you'd rather have a game like this or, let's say, Rams-Bills, where the total's in the mid-50s, so you can look at unders that way. We'll get to that coming up in about 15. You think this is a good game with the defense and the special teams overall. Also, you've been scouting Las Vegas since you've been here now over the past week or so. Plus, I'm going to throw some numbers at you that are available on this game in the state of Washington that blew my mind today.
That'll be interesting.
And if it would be worth catching a last-minute flight up there to bet them. And a $900,000 jackpot that you fell asleep on. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's a good summation.
Let's begin with this. You sent over a couple of screenshots that can confuse bettors, potentially, that books put up on their apps, and just like common mistakes that bettors make for the big game.
Well, the one that you're talking about is, a big confusion that occurs with people when they start to look at props and they start to analyze small samples of data, which is what you have to do with player props. I mean, you're not going to get into the long run doing that. So they take the mean, which is the average, instead of the median, which is the point at which half the occurrences are above that and the other half are below, the over-under, the median. The median is what they should be using. So you can make these mistakes examining a lot of props. And the thing that I sent you was from the MGM. I thought it was interesting that when you logged in and you brought up, what was it, longest?
Reception.
It's longest? Yeah, okay. So longest reception. You can see you got the line there for all of them. But as a little helpful thing, they took the text out. Oh, no, it was average. You can see the average of the guy's longest. And if you notice anything peculiar, every one of their averages is higher than the posted line, which might suggest to somebody that doesn't understand mean versus median is that, wow, look at what a deal they're giving us on all these overs. You know, JSN is only 27.5. He averages 35.1, though, as his longest. It's because they're taking everything together, adding them up, and then dividing them by the number again. That's not the way to do it. Depending on the prop, you can make a little mistake or you could make a big mistake. If you're looking at things that way, we can talk about that when we get into like the special teams and stuff. Yeah, anytime that you're looking to examine a guy, a player, and you want to arrive at what you think your line would be, a fair line, go for the median. You want to take all the sample that you think is relevant, find the midpoint. Half of them are above and half of them are below. That's your starting point, your raw starting point. Then you can start adjusting from there for, you know, conditions. We'll get into, you know, guys that are hot, recency, you know, change in personnel and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure, sure. So how do you handicap fringe players? And you would think Bobo's going to be popular, even though he's only had four catches, but had a touchdown.
You think Bobo, you didn't think that 10 days ago because you didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
But Bobo, I mean, okay, again, so that one would fall into the category of recency, right?
Uh-huh.
There's only props for him because he caught a touchdown pass.
That's right.
He caught two passes all season long during the regular season. And now he caught one in each of the playoff games. Uh-huh. Now all of a sudden he's the guy that we're going to have a prop on. Be careful with that. The thing that could trip you up the most with a guy like that is when they put the prop up, you have to read the fine print. Disclaimers on that. Like say you got something over-under on him, especially if it's something like yardage. What does the fine print say about if he doesn't catch a pass?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because there's a lot of guys with those small numbers, 1.5, guys that are 1.5 catches, and they go 3, 4, 5 times a year, they don't catch a pass. And what happens there? Some places say he doesn't catch a pass, no action. And some places say if he doesn't catch a pass, under is the winner. You got to find out. So, you know, the strategy is obviously if it says that he has to catch a pass to have action, well, then you're going to start leaning more to the over. You say, well, okay, I go over 1.5 or go over 8.5 yards on, or 13.5 yards on his longest, because if he gets the goose egg, I get my money back, you know?
So bet overs at shops like that, unders at the other shops, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's that. Yeah, you got to develop a strategy for the disclaimers if it goes, you know, either or.
So then what do you make of when you go back? Because Drake May's been popular with the rushing yards, right?
Oh, yeah.
And certainly there's going to be an angle here where he can take off and he's the focal point of the offense. But when you look back at and compare his recent numbers, now he's flying over these numbers, but in recent games, 26.5, 29.5, and now for the big game, 36.5, 37.5. What do you think about that?
All right, so this guy is probably, you think he's the most popular bet people are anxious
rushing
to bet
yards
on?
Over
oh, it's one of the big ones,
no
yeah.
Doubt. Yes.
Right, the rushing yards, yeah. Because in the playoffs he had, I don't know exactly, I think it was 66, then 10, and then 65, right? Okay, two biggest games of the year. So now we're into the recency thing. Now, this is like a carbon copy of it's Patrick Mahomes over the course of the recency, even last year. And okay, so Patrick Mahomes last year, his median, we're using that word median again, rush yards per game was 17. Okay, you have to trust me on that. Okay. Then the game before the Super Bowl, the championship game, he had 40 some.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he does have that reputation for running, and there is some truth to it. So what do they make him in the Super Bowl? They don't make him 17, 20, 20. They make him 30, you know, 80% more than he normally is, 75% more. It's an adjustment, but it's an over-adjustment, and you get caught, and what happened? Median 17, over-adjustment to 30, what's he land? 25, okay? You got, yes, there was an adjustment that was needed, but look how far, you went too far, and
too
people
far.
Loved, and they ran for it. I remember sitting here with you guys, I don't know how many years ago it was, Joe Burrow against the Rams. Mm-hmm. Burrow, median for the season was 5.5. We talked about this specific problem.
Okay.
Okay. The championship game, he got like 20-some yards. Best game of the year. All of a sudden, everybody, it's the Super Bowl. They're going to let it all hang out. He's going to take chances. He's going to run, you know, he's going to run, right? So it opens like 10.5. It goes 12, 13.5. And I said, I'm taking him under. And nobody liked that opinion. 5.5 median, line's 13.5. That's the adjustment. 3 yards. Okay? Now, here we go again. There's an old joke. The guy goes to the doctor. Says, Doc, it hurts when I do that. Doctor says, well, don't do that. Okay? This is the same thing. We keep going down the same path again. Yeah. Drake May is now 80% higher than his median. There's an adjustment needed, but it's an over-adjustment.
He's also playing with an injury. Maybe that could go. But also the comeback was handicapping the game is suspect offensive line. Seattle's going to feast. I have to run. I'm running for my life. I'm going to get plenty of maybe.
Yeah, do you really want him to get hit running on like a design play when he's got a bad shoulder already?
No,
I mean,
good,
there's a lot of things that go against it. The only thing, the enthusiasm for it, because he just had two big games. I agree that there should be an adjustment. I just think it gets over-adjusted and people chase it.
Well, how about this then? Approach it. If you want to go over, how about the longest rush? Because it's around 13.5. That's pretty similar to where it's been. So they haven't made the adjustment on the longest rush.
Good catch, because that's the first bet I made at Westgate was an over. Even though I am I'm looking to eventually hold a position fading Drake May rushing, that 12.5 was exactly what he should be. Just take his whole body of work raw. Don't make any adjustments for him running more lately, having longer runs. That's what it should be. So when you take his 6.5 carries and what is normally 23.5 yards rushing, but is instead now approaching 40, how are you going to get to 40 on 6.5 rushes if he doesn't break one off? What, is he going to run 10 times? You know, they made an adjustment for the yards, but they didn't do a similar adjustment for his longest, and there should be an adjustment there too. So it's like a position bet. I know I'm coming back hard against it, but I have over 12.5 as sort of a hedge over the anticipated under that I'm going to have down the road.
Yeah, and I believe...
And it's a good middle.
Do you know, top of your head, is the attempts prop? I don't know this off top of my head, actually.
Who?
Is May's attempts prop at 6.5, is that similar to what it's been as well?
Yeah, that's what it... That his median was 6.5 for the year.
It was, okay.
Yeah, okay. And then I saw 6.5, and it kept going over. I think MGM might have 7.5 under right now. And Westgate put out, they're like, hey, man, go ahead. Go crazy on these things if you want. Westgate put up 6.5 flat, and it stayed there. I actually think somebody bet it under. I don't know why you would do that. But 6.5 even, over even, was available. And there was a 15-cent scalp just sitting out there between one book, and I forget it was, maybe it was Caesars or something. Right there on opening night.
Do you do much of that, the arbing, the scalping this week?
Well, you know, eventually you may end up with some of that, you know, come this weekend when you start to look at buy things back. Like the Drake May thing for me was definitely a position bet, the lead bet that I know that I'm coming back against. So, okay, I'll take over 12.5. It's the cheapest Drake May rushing that I can get because I don't want to pay the inflated, bloated price in the 30s. No, I'll take this 12.5, which is what it should be on a random game, and I'll work with that. You know, you could get scooped. I guess in some world you could get scooped doing that. It'd be a tough scenario to whip up.
What kind of a middle do you need? I'll give you an example. Kenneth Walker opened 77.5 at some spots. That's coming down. If that gets to like 69.5, would you try to win both bets or would you just...
Well, I don't have any of the Kenneth Walker, so... Okay. But, you know, every half yard or yard is worth a certain amount of cents. So you have to just take a look at it. You know, a guy where you're going over 22.5 and under 26.5, probably a good middle if the juice isn't egregious. But the higher up you go, it's just like an NBA total.
Yeah,
you know, you need a bigger gap because it's not so the results don't cluster so strongly right there at that. The bigger the number.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Professional better Frank be our guest in studio for the full hour. Coming up next, he sees the value in this game with defense and with special teams. We'll ask him how and why coming up next.
is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're live in Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, Super Bowl week. One of our favorite guests over the years here on this program, professional bettor Frank B, in studio with us for another half an hour. So have you ever, for the Super Bowl or something else, have you ever gotten wind of numbers that are off in another part of Nevada, or now that it's legal in the country and you're like, I need to catch a last minute flight here because I need to take advantage of those numbers? Have you done that before?
Well, you know, listen, several years ago, there was only one state to bet in, it was Nevada.
Yep,
so,
yep.
So, and I used to go up, you know, Randy, I think Randy still does it. He did it up until a couple years ago when they converted them to William Hills, but there used to be books up north, Northern Nevada, Carson City, Reno, that anytime a team from Oakland or San Francisco was involved in the game, they would push that number like to the point of ridiculous. You know, mm-hmm. a game could be like one, and it would be literally be three there, you know, and that's a huge difference. So we would go up there every year, and, you know, there were years San Francisco made the Super Bowl, and you're going up there to bet against them. And it's great. The number's great because they're adjusting it. They know everybody, the locals are going to come in and bet the, you know, the team. People are going to drive in from the Bay Area mm-hmm. and bet the, you know, and bet on the local team. So you certainly got a deal on the number. But when it came to the size of the bet, that's where, you know, maybe they got hit one time, but they would set it up so you would ask for the bet, and it could be on the side. You know, it was on the side. And if you took the favorite, or if you took the local team, it would come up authorization, but they would authorize anything. But if you took the other thing, the value side, it would be 500 and that's it.
No, they cut you off.
Yeah, they would control it because they knew that they were vulnerable and they were taking advantage of the local bias, and call it whatever you want. The local gouge is what they were doing, but, you know, they were prepared. They weren't going to let you come in and bet, you know, five figures, even on the Super Bowl, on a game that's, you know, 2 points off.
So let me give you this. This is from our buddy Scott Seahawk Sanders, who lives up in Seattle. The Snoqualmie Casino and Hotel.
I've been there.
Snoqualmie. Snoqualmie Falls, God's country.
Yeah, right. There's a railroad goes right through there, and uh-huh. It's not far from Fall City, and yeah.
Okay, so were you up there, casinos and everything like that?
Obviously? Yeah, I was up there looking around. I also know people up there. Yeah.
Okay. So this
looking
is
around.
Yeah. Browsing. What do you got over here? This is from today. Patriots plus six minus 110.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
And So I asked him about like how big of a bet would they take? And he said he thinks easily five figures, likely more. They're begging for Pat's money. They usually take big limits. One of his buddies got 20,000 on a Reds total last year. A win total in baseball. They took 20,000 on that.
Yeah.
So you'd think if they're going to take 20,000 on that, they take a big one on the Super Bowl.
How about Tacoma?
Did you see this?
Yeah, give them the money line.
The MGM Tacoma has the Patriots 3-1 on the money line.
Wow.
The Seahawks.
Now you better get value when you go up that way because it's $15 for a beer in those bars. I'm telling you. You know, it's I mean, the question is how much will they take on the wrong side, you know? The price is that way for a reason. It's not because they expect you to take the plus six or the plus 300.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why it's like that.
So if you or friends who you know were told, hey, look, they'll take a huge bet, would you have any interest, or do you think friends would have any interest?
Yeah, there's guys up there. You could get them to go. I mean, listen, I think I told you guys. I talked to a friend yesterday, and he says he already looked into it, and they told him how much they would take, and he says, I'm not, you know, driving the couple hours it's going to take if that's the case.
You know?
So, well, you know. Hey, it just depends, you know, what bet size is going to satisfy you, you know? For a guy that only bets $1,000, sure, go, you know, he might drive an hour to get an extra full point, you know?
Right, but
get
if you need
all
to catch,
that extra money on
if
the,
you need
on
to book a flight, catch a flight,
yeah, I'm
to
not,
go
I'm
up
not
there.
Doing that.
No, you have to get
those
down.
Those days are over, man.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So you said off air it's been a good trip so far. Can you take us through what it was like in the old days where you would go out at 4 a.m. and scout? And how this trip has been.
Yeah, I the last few trips I hadn't got, I've just been booked up with stuff to do and didn't get to have really a chance to get back in the casinos like I used to and go looking around, go creeping around in the middle of the night and see what's doing, what is this place dealing, you know, what are the what's going on promotion wise over here. And so I've been able to do that the last few nights really is when I've been doing it. And I'm finding, I'll tell you what, on the preparation on the way to come here, did you guys, here at Circa, they started a promotion. And you should have seen like the 24-hour period when the pros, the APs, got kind of wind of it. And I'm talking about the Canada thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what initially happened. I go to the computer in the morning, and you look at your message, and you go, oh, look at that. Okay, got a message from, I don't know who did this. There was multiple messages, but I don't know who did it first, but I read Munchkin's first. And he's trying to be coy about it. He's like, hey, you got any Canadian money? I'm like, oh, that's an odd one. Okay, then I go to another message, and it's somebody else asking about, hey, you got a lot of friends that are Canadians down there, don't you? I'm going, what's going on here? It's a little too. So it doesn't take a little bit of time. And the initial word to the Advantage Player world was this promotion that they're running where they give you you bring in Canadian money, and they'll treat it like U.S. dollars, right?
Per mm-hmm. par, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, isn't that what's called on
yeah.
par?
Yeah.
Okay, so for hotels, for restaurants, and here's where the mistake was. It was out there circulating that they'd also did it for slot play, you know, and it was for up to 100,000. Okay. Now, the 100,000 is a number that they'll take on the restaurants and the thing, but it's not for the slot play. But you should have seen what was going on, you know, for like a 12, 16-hour period when before it got that all got cleared up. So whoever floated that out there that it was good on the slots, it's good on the slots, but to a lesser degree, a much lesser degree. But you had guys, they're trying to wrangle Canadian people. They're trying to gather. By that evening, I'm at my pool at the bar. I'm hitting on 80-year-old Canadian women because I'm like, yeah. I go, yeah, well, hey, I could take you to Vegas for the weekend, you know? Wayne Newt, wait, I know Mike Palm. I'll introduce you, you know?
Yes.
Everybody was just desperate trying to do whatever they could to get on it because this was the thing we were making lines on how long it would last if that was true. You know, started out like 10 days and it's a week. I said, no, it's 3 days. It's whoever can get it together and hit them twice and it's over with. Because each one, if it was really 100,000, would have been worth like 25K per name to do that. And you kind of lose all, you know, you lose your mind a little bit if you think that's going on. Being like, well, they're not dumb enough to do that, are they? No, they're not dumb enough. I don't even think that ever existed. Like, I think somebody misread it, kind of wishful mm-hmm. thinking, and then send it out there, start recruiting people, and then news just spread. You know, APs are, you know, if they can do it once, they want to do it 10 times.
Right, right. Know?
Yeah, okay. Tell us about the book you're a part of, All About Sports Betting.
Okay, so we've been working on it for 3 years. The primary author, the main author, is Blair Rodman. He's been a gambler, sports, poker. He's got a World Series bracelet. But he's been working on it for years. And it's I guess you would call it an introductory cover-all sports betting book. And I consulted and contributed to some of the more technical stuff and, you know, some of the, like, can you win, you know, what pushes you over the edge. Anthony Curtis, you know, he's the publisher, mm-hmm. Runs Las Vegas Advisor, and he contributed the contest section. He and I went into that as primarily him, and then he wrote some Mattress Mack stuff. So there's just about everything in that book. There's like a treatment of just about everything, and it came out in the last couple weeks. It is available on Amazon, but I think you do better going through LVA. I think it'll be less, and they could get free shipping and everything like that. So, but it's out there. It's all about sports betting, and just go to Las Vegas Advisor, and you'll see it on there.
Very good. Do you know top of your head, best Super Bowl you've ever had, worst Super Bowl you've ever had?
Yeah. Well, what do you think it is?
Rams-Patriots.
That's the best one.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
That is.
Nothing happened.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the opposite, it kind of applies. The Super Bowl where there was over a thousand, they set the record for yards.
Oh, Eagles-Pats?
Yeah.
It was over 1,000 yards. The only game that's ever exceeded 1,000 yards, you know. And, you know, because for the most part, you don't really lose on Super Bowls when you bet in this manner, when you're just carpet bombing everything and you get, you know, such high volume. And what you're doing is you're spreading what I like to call spreading horizontally instead of vertically, like just making a couple of big bets. You're just making a bunch of advantageous bets over and over again. And it's hard to lose that way. But I have had a couple. I lost when there was Chicago and the Colts, too. I lost that one.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I lost on that one. I can't remember. I think okay. I went hog wild on a couple of props, and they all lost. Good. You know, the big, bigger bets.
Stop paying full price for gas. Download the free Upside app, earn real cash back every time you fill up, quick and easy, and it adds up. Drivers are earning $200 to $300 a year just buying the gas they already needed. Promo code NETWORK for 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank. Cash out anytime to your bank account or e-gift cards like Amazon, and download the free Upside app now. Promo code NETWORK. NETWORK, limited time, 25 cent per gallon bonus. See upside.com for details.
More with professional bettor Frank B coming up next. I'll tell you the story of how falling asleep one time cost him part of $900,000 next.